Everybody, JJ Cooper, Josh Norris, Ian Cundall, Baseball America Prospect Podcast, back for another week. And we're going to have a fun one this week, as we try to do most weeks. Every week, I would say we try to have fun. But we are going to look at drafting the best position groups, the organizations that have the best position prospect groups today. We'll explain it in more detail later, but basically we're looking at, so who has the best catchers out there in the minor leagues? Who has the best middle infielders, corner infielders, outfielders, right-handers, left-handers? We're going to go all through all that. But first, you guys have been on the road. You guys have been seeing prospects. Ian, you got to see the AA debut of one of the better pitching prospects in, well, the best pitching prospect in the minors from the Phillies organization, and one of the ones who's probably had kind of more of the standout year so far of all pitching prospects. You got to see Gage Wood. What stood out from your travels over the past week?
Yeah, it was a really, really good week. Beyond Gage Wood, got to see Anthony Ianson for the first time in the regular season. Got to see Seaver King played AAA. Got to see more Franklin Arias. So yeah, it was a prospect-filled week like we love here at Baseball America. But Gage Wood was really interesting because he was someone obviously wasn't that familiar with beyond watching him on TV with the College World Series last year when he obviously had that standout performance throwing a no-hitter with 19 strikeouts. And now you look a year later and he's making his AA debut, just showing how quickly those college pitchers can move through the minors. And he was pretty impressive. You know, it was he's clearly on a very strict pitch count. He only worked 3 innings, and given how many innings he threw in college, it's easy to see why they're kind of being very careful with managing him, because he didn't throw very many. I think you have a stat
has on never that. I don't think he's ever top 50 innings in a season in his college career, so yeah, there's not a lot of runway here.
Yeah, so the Phillies are clearly being very careful. So he only threw 3 innings, but fastball looked good, you know, really good riding life from that low release height, sat in the mid-90s, mixed in slider was really good, 84 to 86 miles an hour, got a bunch of whiffs on that. He was basically fastball slider, which I guess was MO coming out of college too. He's more or less a two-pitch guy, mixed in an occasional curveball and a kind of a split change, but he was very good, limited hard contact. He had one bad pitch the entire outing, and it was Franklin Arias, got a fastball. And it was actually not really that bad a pitch. It was above the belt. He just, Arias did what he's been doing, and he hit it out to straightaway center field. So other than that, though, he was really impressive. And, you know, he looks like someone that the way the Phillies are treating him, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see pitching, if they're in contention, out of their bullpen at some point this year.
And Josh, you tried to see Seth Hernandez make his high A debut. Unfortunately, it was really wet that day, and they pushed it back. But that didn't keep you from going out and seeing prospects as well.
Well, it would have been his high A home debut.
He did start against Jersey Shore.
He would have started against Jersey Shore and did very well. And then he got pushed back and got whacked around a little bit by Winston-Salem. But I got to see a whole lot of TARP. But I did see 2 games of Nashville at Durham. And Nashville has Luis Lara, Cooper Pratt, and Jet Williams. And they were all pretty good. They all, you know, showcased the little bits of things that they can do. They played defense. They did timely hitting. Or at least good contact. You know, Jet Williams showed that, you know, he could be a pest, or he could, you know, dial it up for some power. He almost had a home run. If you looked at it from the side, it looked like a home run, but Homer Bush took it away and saved, I believe, a couple runs for starter Brody Hopkins. But yeah, it was a really fun couple days there. Saw a couple people I knew and talked their ear off for 9 innings. So it was. Not Seth Hernandez, which I'll probably see, you know, Thursday if the weather's better. But it was a fun couple days.
But so what we're going to do today is inspired by a piece that Ian wrote. You can check it out at baseballamerica.com. Ian wrote it last week as we're recording this, which was looking at the best position groups, prospect groups by organization across the minor leagues. And we're going to steal that today and do a draft of that. Now, the rules are pretty simple, right? We're being reasonably liberal, but at the same time, within reason as far as position groups, right? So a player who is playing semi-regularly a position can count for that group. You can say, I'm picking this guy partly for this guy, but it has to be someone who's playing there. You can't say, I think this guy's going to be a first baseman someday, but he's catching now, or he's an outfielder, and say he's now going to be part of my corner infield group. It has to be someone who's actually doing that. The other rules, pretty basic. Each of us, to make it a little tougher, each of us can only pick an organization once, right? Mm-hmm. So if I pick the Rockies for catching, I can't pick the Rockies again, Ian can, Josh can for a different group, not for the catchers, but you, I can't. So you want to be a little strategic with this as well, that you, if you think a group is better at a different group, you may not want to pick them for this other group. And the other one is, as we just said, obviously you can't, each of us, each group can only be picked once for each or group. So we're going to go in the order of catchers, corner infield, middle infield, outfielders, right-handers, and left-handers. We'll start it off with catchers. And Ian, it's only fitting since it was your idea and you wrote the piece. You get first pick. So who are you picking at catcher? And by the way, if you have the story at baseballamerica.com up, for the ones where Ian picks first, maybe you might have a little sneak peek who he's going to pick. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed actually to have the first pick here, because I think this is one of the deeper position groups in terms of there's multiple teams that I think you could make the case for, whereas some of the other spots, I think it gets a little thinner. But yeah, with catchers, I think I'm going to have to go with the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals, obviously, headlined by Raniel Rodriguez, number one prospect in their system. He's well within our top 30 right now, and he's off to a very good start in Double A, big time power potential. You know, there's a lot of offensive upside there. And what makes the Cardinals so unique is they complement him with a pair of guys who are even higher in the minors. Both are in Triple A, who at, you know, worst case look like backup catchers. And maybe, especially with someone like Jimmy Crooks, there might even be, you know, fringe regular upside there. But yeah, Jimmy Crooks and Leandro Bernal, they're the number six and number seven prospects in the system. Both are close to big league ready. You know, there's not a lot of systems where you're going to have three catchers who probably can be in the big leagues in the next year or two. And that's what the Cardinals have. And, you know, if you look in it, and I think a good way to think about it is if you look at the top 30s and you look at the adjusted grades here, the Cardinals have three catchers with a 40 or higher adjusted grade. And they're the only organization in baseball who can say that. So they were, while it was a pretty easy pick, it was the other two or some other options were just as good that I'm guessing you guys are going to go to here. So that's why I was a little disappointed that this is the one I had to pick first.
I will say this is one where it's like, if you said I was picking fourth, yeah, there's only three of us, I'd still be okay. Mm-hmm. So Josh, you get the second pick though. So who are you taking?
If I had had the first pick, I would not have taken the Cardinals. I would have gone with the Padres because they have Ethan Salas and you don't. I think he's the best catching prospect in the sport all around. He's clearly come back from what ailed him last year and has looked excellent. He's one of, he's not the youngest player in the Texas in Double A anymore, but he's, you know, a teenager. I think he turns 20 soon. I think on the first, but he's hitting, he's catching, he's throwing, he's savvy. He's everything we thought he would be a couple of years ago before a lot of things kind of derailed him. The way they've hired their managers, they've kind of targeted his development at that level, and it's working really well. I wrote an article last week suggesting that he has an outside shot of being the number one prospect in baseball at some point next year. I think Jesus Made, you know, holds serve unless he does get the service time and under 30 bats, whatever, this year. But if it's anybody else, I think he has a chance to ascend that high again. So I'll take him and all the other catchers in that organization. But as long as I get Salas, I'm fine.
I'm kind of glad, to be honest, that you went that way. Very logical. And I agree with you. You're getting the best prospect. So yay. But at the same time, I'll take the Rays and I'll feel very good about taking the Rays because I'm getting guys who are admittedly a little further away, but I'm getting, I'm getting Cooper, Caden Bodine, I'm getting Nathan Flewelling. You know, you're throwing in some other guys who I would say, Ian's doing the Rays now. I've done the Rays. I will say with the Rays that they are a team where it's like, you're like, well, that guy's not even on the top 30. No, it's something where with the Rays not being on the top 30, but Dominic Keegan is on the top 30. I want to check to make sure before I said that. But Dominic Keegan, who's in AAA, on the top 30. Those are the big names, I would say, for them. There's a couple other guys. Kenny Piper has always been kind of a guy who's always on the depth chart. Some other guys like that. But I would say that I feel really good about especially Flewelling and Bodine. Bodine is the not going to strike out, contact-oriented, really good defender. Flewelling is the guy who's got all kinds of ceiling. He's been a much faster study, I would say, for a teenage high school catcher from Canada to be as good as he has been so quickly. Really good athleticism position. That's one where I feel really good about. And I think that we all three, to be honest, feel really good about that, because I will pose one more question before we move on, which is, do you all feel like, I feel like that catcher is one of the positions, middle infield's always going to be loaded because players start out as shortstops. Catcher can kind of wax and wane, and I feel like catching prospects right now are in a pretty decent shape, especially with Salas's kind of return to health and prominence. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like, the fact that we had three good position groups to choose from is kind of nuts to me. And, you know, I chose what is essentially a one-man show. And you guys had,
I will say, Ty Harvey, yeah. Lamar King.
That's why I said the word essentially. but if it's a concert, I'm paying money to see the name on the marquee. But you guys had three guys legitimately at all those positions, and that's pretty good. And you know, we didn't talk about, you know, Malcolm Moore with Texas has gone through a bit of a resurgence lately. He's figured something out, and you know, I think the other night he had three bombs and he threw out three runners with sub-1.9 pop times. So he's jumping back onto the map, and once we update our stuff again, he'll probably go up there, and I'll see him this week because Hub City is going to be who faces Seth Hernandez and the Fighting Greensboros in a pretty loaded series when you think about it, low-key loaded.
I think that's a loaded one. Now we're going to jump to what I would say is the least loaded one, most difficult one, which is not surprising. But after this quick break, we're going to draft our corner infield groups.
AJ, give me a line on Blue Chew.
Well, do you need help with your love life, Scott?
Perhaps.
Do you want to turbocharge your love life?
Yes.
Well, then you need Blue Chew Gold because it has four active ingredients that help you not only to turbocharge, but you can supercharge it if you take one of these.
And AJ's talking about that new arousal-boosting formula that combines passion and performance into one tablet that dissolves under your tongue for super fast onset. No more waiting for a pill to kick in. No more moments ruined by performance anxiety. Just the results you want when you want them. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. A special deal is there for the FT fam. Right now, when you buy 2 months of Blue Chew Gold, you get the third for free with promo code FOUL. That's promo code FOUL. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. Thank you to Blue Chew for sponsoring the show. And thank you, AJ, for talking love life. The process is simple and it's all online. Get started today at BlueChew.com and go for gold.
And we're back to draft corner infielders. And this one, let's just be honest, this one's going to be a little bit tougher. When I said in the intro that you can use players who aren't necessarily full-time there right now, that's important, I would say, in this group. I would say that much more so than probably almost any of the other groupings, we're not being too liberal here. You have to be talking about players who are playing that position, but you'll see some here where you're like, that guy's a shortstop. No, he's playing shortstop in third base. We're claiming him. But I will also say, let's be reasonable about this, right? Like, Jesus Bidet, I believe, has played a game at third base or two in his career. Like, he's a shortstop. Let's not go crazy on this. So we have that kind of covered. But
or you can fight back on that one. And they have other shortstops who are better. I mean, I just mentioned one of them. Like, if you get Cooper Pratt and Jesus Mate to the big leagues, I can tell you Cooper Pratt's playing shortstop.
I don't disagree with you, but I will say I'm going to take the Brewers with the first pick for this. But I will say Jesus Mate is still – I would love to claim him, but I mean, he's primarily a shortstop now. But I don't even need him, to be honest, to have a representative and legitimate grouping here. This is not as loaded as in other positions. And you could probably say that there's for others, because I already took the raise. So I'll just, you know, spell that out that I think that they're going to get taken here too. I can't take them. So the key things here, I would say, is you have the Brew Crew bashers, almost all of whom may end up at first base. Andrew Fisher is a third baseman. I don't know if that's the position he's going to play long-term, but he's obviously a key part of this. You've got Blake Burke, who has, you know, really kind of gone on a power tear. You've got Luke Adams, who is Mr. HBP and Mr. OBP because of that. You've also got guys like Brock Wilkin. And again, that is without kind of really stretching it to go to the Jet Williams of the world, who's played some third, to going to the Jesus Medes, who we'll probably touch base on at other positions. But I still feel, even with trying to be kind and rewind, I will try to, doing that, I still feel very good about this Brewers group, which has, I would say, more probably plausible big leaguers than in corner infield than almost any team out there. So that's my pick, which kicks it back to Josh, who gets to pick second on all of these.
And I will take the Rays, who, you already, blew your chance to take more Rays, but I get Cooper Fleming, I get Tayton Gray, I get Xavier Isaac, and I just wanted to get Tayton Gray. I love Tayton Gray. Even though he, did not follow through to his commitment to Oregon, I won't hold that against him. I saw him some point in April and loved that swing and loved the power potential. I don't know if he plays corner infield. He might play right field, but, we were there, a scout pointed out to me that it was kind of freezing that day, or coldish for this time of year here. It wasn't certainly, Ian's level of freezing. But he's wearing, short sleeves, cut off, an Iowa boy who did not care. I love everything about him. And I think he's got that kind of power that, the cliche is it'll play in every park, including Yellowstone. And I think that really, he really made an impression on me. I've been kind of pushing for him to be on the top 100. I think he'll get there at some point this year, especially with, I think we lose four guys to graduation this week. So.
And I will note also with that, you also get Cooper Fleming, another really good name to have.
Yeah, Fleming,
you mentioned these, but I'm talking about them too. Yeah. Fleming and also Xavier Isaac, who has big time power. Just, man, that he's going to, I think he's going to have to make some swing changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the contact rate has gone in the wrong direction. It looked like at one point he was going to be hit over power. It's very much power over hit now, but there is some real power there. Okay, Ian, you get to pick third in this spot. Are there any moves left to pick?
This is a tricky one. So I will say, JJ, first off, you do get Jet Williams. Jet Williams has, I was surprised when I was doing this process, he has 36 games at third base this year and only five at shortstop. The Brewers are a very good choice there. But the reason I didn't use them in my article was the same reason you couldn't take the Rays, because they have another group that might
be picking first next, and I know which way you're going.
Yeah. This is a little bit of a predicament, because I would have the Rays were my choice in the article, and now I'm obviously not able to choose them. So I will be taking the Cleveland Guardians using the exact same logic that Josh did with catcher. They have Ralphie Velasquez, who is the best first base prospect left in true first base prospect left in the minors. Now that Bryce Eldridge, I believe, has graduated, or is he about to graduate?
About to graduate.
He will be when he graduates. He's off to a really good start in AAA. It's huge power. It's there's not a lot else with the Guardians at the corner, but I think Ralphie Velasquez alone is good enough for this exercise, and he's close to the big leagues. And I think that combination makes him a really appealing target for this. I think he can hit, he's got power, and I just think that he's someone who, he's 20 years old in AAA performing. I there's a lot to like there. I think the Guardians are in really good shape with him. And, moving down the list, there's maybe some other guys that might end up at first base or playing a little bit. They don't have any true first baseman or third baseman on the in their top 30. But I think, JJ, you could probably speak to, is there anyone else?
I would say that you absolutely can claim. I know that Nolan Schubart is listed as an outfielder there, but Nolan Schubart is playing more first base than outfield. And I would say that that's probably his long-term home. So Nolan Schubart, I would say, who has big power, is your other one. That actually leads me to want to bring up something else. We are drafting. So, but we also had to prepare for this, and I don't want to leave, useful stuff on the table. So I wanted to make sure I had at least four groups, I would say, for the picks, for most groups, right? Just so that I was looking at them. Okay. Corner infield, if you said, well, who are the other teams that you could consider? I'll throw these out to you all and see if you all looked at them. The Dodgers, because with the Dodgers, Emil Morales, I think you could consider,
he's playing some third.
And he's probably that's where he's going to end up. I don't think any of us would argue that point. So that's a really premium prospect. James Tibbs is as much a first baseman as he is an outfielder. So that's another one. The other one I looked at was the White Sox. Caleb Bonimer, I think you could very much say I'm claiming him for third base. You could say Colby Shelton is a third baseman, although I don't think his arm really works as well there as it does at second, but that would be another one. Not as much at first base for them, but that would be another team that stood out. And I did want to bring up also at catcher, I would say the Guardians were another one that really stood out at catcher. Not because they have Cooper Engel, who's in AAA. They have Jacob Cozart. They have Cody Huff, who's now just joined their 30. So that was another one. If you have three, a fringe of the top 100 prospect in Cooper Engel, some good defenders out there as well who are in the upper level of the minors. Any other teams stood out for you guys on catcher or corner infield?
For corner infield, I considered the Cubs. Pedro Ramirez is playing a lot of third base in the minors. And then moving a little down, you got Jonathan Long, you've got Cole Mathis, a couple of interesting guys there. I think that they just didn't have, I like Pedro Ramirez, but I'm not sure. He's kind of a weird profile. I think his value is going to be more if he's up the middle. But yeah, I think the Cubs were there. And I think just an overall part of this exercise that I thought was interesting was just how few true top 100 or, elite prospects we have right now on the corners. When I went through it, there were two who played primarily first base. It was Bryce Eldridge and then Ralphie Velasquez. And then this really surprised me. There were only four players in the top 100. And I don't know if it's changed. I don't know if anyone's graduated since I wrote the article, but there were only four players who had played the majority of their games at third base this year in the top 100. Caleb Bonimer, Jett Williams, Pedro Ramirez, and Xavier Nyans. And so I think it just really does show how much teams are how much a priority there is on up the middle players and how much third base is going to get populated by guys who are just shortstops or second basemen or usually shortstops who can't play that position.
It really does stand out. Okay, so rolling on to what is probably the least suspenseful of all these picks, Ian gets the first pick for middle infielders. And Ian, tell us why you're picking the Brewers.
Yes, this was the easiest probably selection in the draft, considering where I'm picking. The Brewers have the top prospect in baseball. They also have Luis Peña, great to see him back in the ACL right now playing. He ranks just inside the top. I believe he's 30th right now. And then they have Cooper Pratt, who Josh obviously talked about a little earlier, who's ranked 49th. So they have three middle infield prospects in the top 50 of the Baseball America top 100. The only organization who can say that. They are also the only organization whose top three prospects are all middle infielders. So, and the fun part about the Brewers is it doesn't stop there. We look a little further down. They have Diego Frontado, who's one of their top international signings this year. They have Brady Ebel, who, when I wrote this, I've said the underlying data has been a lot better than his surface stats have indicated. And what did he do? He ended up, I think he was named Carolina League Player of the Week, Carolina League. And he's on the hot sheet this week. So starting to translate some of that underlying data into on-field performance. So I think the Brewers, this was really easy. They have a very, very deep group and headlined by the number one prospect in baseball. And, we've talked enough about Jesus Mate on here, but he's just such a talented player that him alone is probably enough to carry this group. But to also get those other players, especially Luis Peña and Cooper Pratt, just made them the slam dunk number one pick. But unknowingly, this is probably one, again, where you don't want the number one pick because there are so many great options for this spot.
I will say I have no idea which way Josh is going to go on this. I feel like it's going to be one of two teams probably, and I think I'm going to take whichever one he doesn't. But Josh, who are you taking with the second pick at middle infield?
Well, I'll say again that if I had the number one spot, I wasn't taking the Brewers. Because I think I already took the Brewers.
No, JJ did.
Oh, JJ did. No, I was going to take the Giants.
Yeah.
I will take Josuar Gonzalez, and I will take Luis Hernandez every day of the week and twice on Sundays. I picked Josuar as my choice for 2027 number one overall prospect. He needs to stay healthy to do that, but and some other guys probably need to graduate, but I think he has a chance to be there at some point if he's not lapped by Luis Hernandez. He skipped over the DSL. I've heard a couple people say he might be better, maybe a slightly lower ceiling but higher floor, and he's crushing right now in the ACL to the point where, I'm going to be there in a couple weeks. I'm getting nervous he's not going to be there. And I love those guys. I love Gavin Keelan, who looks way better than he did last year when I saw him in San Jose. I am missing some. Oh, Johnny Level, who is raking in the raking in the Cal League, number one prospect last year in the Arizona Complex League. They've got a lot of guys. Yeah, they're all far away, but and they're probably not. It's kind of like, well, we'll preview a little later. I doubt they're all going to wind up in San Francisco, but they make for really good future Giants or future trade assets. Because it's really a good way to go through life if you have a lot of talented middle infielders in your system, and they sure do.
So that when you guys said this is loaded, by the way, you should also check out Josh did right last week, pick out five guys who could be number one prospects last week. Definitely check that out at baseballamerica.com. I'm picking third, and I don't know if I'd have taken them first, but I would at least have considered the Washington Nationals group first because of volume, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I have no question that Jesus Madey is a better prospect than anyone I've got on the Nationals list. I have no question that I would rather have Joshua Gonzalez and I would have like Luis Hernandez more than any Nationals shortstop prospect. But what I do get in return is I get all the shortstop prospects. I get Eli Willits. I get Ronnie Cruz. I get Seaver King. I get Devin Fitzgerald. That right there, that's like, okay, I get four guys who are premium prospects. And then you go down and you've got Coy James and you've got Luke Dickerson and you've got Anel Feliz. There are so many shortstop prospects in this organization. They're not all going to play when this is middle infield, right? Devin Fitzgerald is not going to play shortstop in the big leagues, but he could be a second baseman, and that's a middle infielder. And some of these guys are going to end up probably moving to other positions eventually just because you can only play one player at shortstop at any one time. But they're legit. These are most of these guys we're talking about are legitimately shortstop, or at least like they're not like what is that guy doing at shortstop, guys, especially guys like Willits, who should play shortstop all the way through. And it's just the volume of shortstop prospects here is such, and middle infield prospects is such, that you feel really good that this is kind of like saying I'll take the field, because there's just so many prospects here that you kind of envision that one, two, or even three of them may end up working out in some way. And I know Josh got to see Devin Fitzgerald relatively recently. I think Ronnie Cruz has been really banged up lately. I know I haven't been as good lately, but we saw him really good early in the year before that, before his promotion. And then Eli Willits is the number one pick in the draft last year. Again, just a position where you can feel, I feel like, pretty good about. But I did want to throw it out for both of you guys. Were there any other groups that stood out to you as, you know, I mean, this one's a little tougher from that standpoint because these guys were so good. I'll throw the A's out there largely because they have Leo DeVries, who's the number two prospect in the game. And they have some other guys too, but, you know, Joshua Kuroda Gardner is a, you know, potential utility infielder this year. There's some other guys, but if you get the number two prospect in the game, you do pretty well. Any other groupings that really kind of stood out in your orgs that stood out to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the A's because of the same play I did with catcher with you get Leo DeVries and anything else that comes with him. But the Yankees also, too. You know, George Lombard is their number one overall prospect, and he's doing his yearly nuke one level, get promoted quickly, and struggle at the other one. Although the underlying data seems to say that he's not struggling as much. But you also get Dax Kilby, who – and he hasn't played all year, nagging hamstring injury or whatever. I still think he's going to be a monster. You know, I tried to call my shot before the season saying, hey, I positioned Kilby where I did in the top 100 because I think he's one day going to lap George Lombard. That looks less likely right now because of, you know, Lombard is a bit of a head start, but I think there's, if you hacked into all 30 teams' rankings of the Yankees' top 30 prospects, or however deep they go, you would find Dax Kilby pretty high on some of them, or at number one on some of them.
That's definitely, those are ones that stand out. And I do think that it's good to highlight that the Yankees.
And same deal with the Red Sox. Yep, you take the Red Sox, you get Franklin Arias.
Yeah.
And you get Yoelin Cespedes, and you get Dorian Soto. What'd you say, Ben?
Henry Godbout.
You get a lot of guys there. So that's one that could have been in the mix too. It's shocking every year. You know, I've been at BA 13 years, which JJ says, you know, that's nothing. But every 4 or 5 years, we have this bounty of middle infielders. And I think that's kind of by design. Teams select four middle infielders. So this group is going to be the most fun.
Yeah.
Okay. I get the first pick here. I did not arrange it this way, but I would say that this is the easiest. I would say that you all basically could have me checked in, you know, for psychological examination. If I didn't take the Dodgers here, the Dodgers have four top 50 prospects in the game: Josue De Paula, Eduardo Quintero, Mike Sirota, Zahir Hope. All of those are top 50 prospects. That does not count Charles Davelin, having a very solid year. That does not count Kendall George. That does not count James Tibbs. You could go down the list, but this is, I mean, again, this one's easy. This one is one where I think that there is a dramatic difference between picking one and picking two or three. That one's easy. Josh, I think you've got a little bit tougher task. Who would you pick for the outfield?
I think here I'll probably go with the Pirates because I want Edward Florentino, and I will take my chances with, you know, the password as well, and all the other outfielders that come in that group. If you want to maybe put Tony Blanco in there, you know, Esmerlin Valdez, but Edward Florentino is the attraction in this group, and I will gladly add him to my bounty of prospects.
That's what I was going to say. You're taking, again, there's an interesting balance here to do between taking the premium prospect and taking more depth. I think the approach of taking the more premium prospect makes sense largely most of the time. Well done. Okay. What about you, Ian?
I'm going to go back to the Rays because I have not used them yet and take the Rays outfield group led by a premium prospect, Theo Gillen. And I think he's been one of the biggest risers this year. Just, I think Josh has heard the same thing talking to scouts. Like, we have him, I think, 32 in the 30s right now. He probably should be higher than that. Maybe even inside.
He's going to be higher than that soon.
Yeah, he probably should be inside the top 20 now because this is a guy that everything we've been kind of waiting for with him is happening. It's coming to fruition. He's hitting for power, but he's not trading contact to get there. And, you know, he can play center field. Arm's kind of the question mark, but the glove is good. He's going to hit for power. He's going to hit for average. He can run. Like, there's just a ton to like there. And then beyond him, the Rays don't really have an elite second option, though I think there's a non-zero chance, as Josh talked about earlier, that Tayton Gray could eventually get a little time in the outfield and maybe end up there, given how good of an athlete he is. But even
you are getting him, volume.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that's what I was going to go to. Beyond him, though, the volume you get with Jacob Melton, who's someone who stock is definitely down right now, but we'll see what he looks like when he comes back from injury after working with the Rays on kind of some swing changes, which is what's going on right now with him. Then you also get Aiden Smith, who just came back from injury, Slater DeBrun, who is yet to debut after they acquired him from the Orioles in the offseason. Austin Overn, who was in the hot sheet recently, has had a really, really good month of May, showing some really good gains with his impact ability to go along with the solid secondary skills with the speed and the defense. So just the volume of prospects the Rays provide for the outfield is really impressive. And then you also have an anchor like Theo Gillen to really headline the group. So I think I was very happy to get them where I did with the third pick in the outfield round.
So I felt like that this is where there are fewer options. I think the Twins definitely stand out as another option. But the problem with the Twins is you're drafting injured guys because
they're all hurt right now.
You're talking about Walker Jenkins, who ran into a wall, and you're talking about Emmanuel Rodriguez, who had hand surgery, you know, which unfortunately that's been kind of a long running issue for him. You know, Gabriel Gonzalez, who's I think just came up recently. There are some other guys as well, but that's kind of what's carrying it there. Any other organizations that really stood out as far as outfield prospect? I looked at the White Sox a little bit. It's not as loaded there, but Braden Montgomery is obviously a good guy to start with. But I would not probably have really considered them, to be honest. But the Mets have AJ Ewing. But again, I don't think now that Carson Bench is no longer eligible. But any other teams that really jumped out to you guys?
I was going to say the Mets. I think that, you know, Ryan Clifford's still playing some outfield. Then you also get Nick Borabito, who just was called up. Eli Serrano, another interesting guy. But yeah, I think it was interesting just going through. Just there weren't as many good outfield prospects or teams with multiple good outfield prospects as I was expecting. It just, I think, further just illustrates how much the talent is consolidated right now in the middle infield. And because you will see a lot of these middle infielders will you know, some of them will end up in the outfield too. So, but yeah, I think the Mets was one.
One that comes to mind, I'm just perusing our handbook here. Cleveland, you get, and I will always have a little soft spot for Jason Chourio, who looks like he's bouncing a little bit. You get, where am I looking here?
Unikar Caceres. You get,
yep, Unikar Caceres. But you also get Robert Arias, who is one of the biggest risers this season. And I would gladly take him in the group as well. Yeah, those three are pretty interesting to me. You still get Jace LaViolette. Travis DeLauder, or Chase DeLauder doesn't count anymore, but
Khalil Watson.
You can keep Khalil Watson. but I'll take the other guys gladly.
I think one more that it's probably about a year too soon, but if I do this article again next year, I do wonder if the Braves are going to be in contention for the outfield spot. You've got Eric Hartman, who's one of the biggest risers this year. Then beyond that, I like some of their secondary guys, like Diego Tornes was someone I think, Josh, you highlighted as one of the top Florida Complex League prospects. He just recently started his season after a little delay. You got Connor Essenberg, who's someone they drafted, got an overslot bonus, who's had some injuries but showed some promise. Moving a little down, Owen Carey, Isaiah Drake, a couple of guys, too, who have had really good seasons. Carey's obviously out with injury right now, but he was looking very scouts, really good feedback on him. And then coming out of nowhere after a few seasons off the map, Luis Guanipe, who was once a top international prospect, has had a pretty big resurgence this year in low A with the Braves. So they've got a pretty interesting crew that I think is a year away from being in contention for this list, but someone I would just definitely flag to watch. There's a lot of upside in that group.
So we have back up a little bit here and just say, yeah, Khalil Watson is doing better than I remember, at least last time.
I was going to say, Khalil's been pretty good.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good. You know, the Guardians have done a good job kind of reviving that prospect status, but I'm really drafting to get Robert Arias and Jason Chourio.
But as a team that you're not even taking, these are our other considerations. But we have picked up all the bumper crops of position players. That hay is in the barn. When we get back from this break, we will draft pitchers. So we're back to draft the pitching prospects. We're dividing this not into starters and relievers, because that would be a terrible way to do this, because minor league relievers, not exactly a fertile ground that you really want to, you know, spend your time on. But right-handers and left-handers, very different, very much more loaded crops. Ian, you get the first pick here. I will note, just as to catch everyone up, I will put up the full results at the end of this on the YouTube channel side of this. But you have taken the Cardinals, Guardians, Brewers, and Dodgers. So those are no longer considerations for you. Josh has taken Padres, Rays, Giants, Pirates. So no Pirates and Seth Fernandez for you in the right-handed pitchers. And I have taken Rays, Brewers, Nationals. And I'm sorry, I took Dodgers. You took Rays.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Rays. So yep.
You took Rays. So Dodgers is still an option for you. I took Rays, Brewers, Nationals, Dodgers. So, and you took Cardinals, Guardians, Brewers, Rays again. Okay, so you get to pick right-handers. Who are you taking?
I am going to be taking the Pittsburgh Pirates. And this is a Seth Hernandez-driven pick. I think Josh, you talked about that he has a chance to be the number one prospect in all of baseball at some point next year. I think the talent is that good. I think that he alone is just, he's just a special talent, and the chance to grab him and then whatever else I can get is just gravy. You know, this is everything is going to be in his court here.
That's the main course. And these are, it is gravy. It is not like other, like you're not talking about some good mashed potatoes here. You're not talking about, you know, like I whipped up a nice risotto to go on the side of the steak. It's Seth Fernandez.
No, it is. But I think that's how special he is. And, you know, recently promoted to high A, as Josh said, you know, he one good start, one bad start. We'll see what he does this week. But, you know, just talking to scouts, just how glowing they are when they talk about him just really stands out more so than I think you hear about any other right-handed pitching prospect in baseball. And I will say, it's not a great group, but there are some intriguing guys after that too. Obviously you've got Antoine Kelly, you've got Wilbur Dotel, who's pitching really well in the big leagues right now as a reliever. You've got Levi Sterling, Jesus Travieso moving a little down further. So there's a lot of volatility with the guys I just listed, but still there's some upside. But this is Seth Hernandez, and he alone is enough for me to make them my number choice for the right-handed pitching portion of this draft.
Okay. So Josh, Pirates off the board, but you weren't going to be able to pick them anyway. Who are you taking at right-handed pitcher?
I haven't picked the Brewers yet, have I?
You have not.
Well, then I'm going to, because they are the best pitching developers in the sport, and I'm going to trust that they are going to bring me a bountiful harvest year after year. And for a couple of days more, I get Logan Henderson, so that's pretty good.
Slides in under the wire here, just still prospect eligible.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm looking at their 30 from the book. Not a whole lot of standouts behind him.
He's been up and down this year.
Right. There's been up and down this year, a lot of up and down this year, but I trust these guys to get them to up this year. So, like, I just know that they are going to be the premier molder of pitching talent in the sport, and I'm going to trust that they will take what they have and get the absolute most out of it.
So this is where I am in trouble, and I'll just lay out why I am in trouble. Okay. So I would say this is going to kind of cover the next teams right away. I would say the logical choices I would look at here are the Rays and the Nationals. Those teams are not available to me because I've already picked both of those. I would love to have, you know, the Rays have a very deep group, not an option. So with that being the case, and I am kind of scrambling here because I did not, I'm going to go with the Yankees. And it's really because I'm getting Elmer Rodriguez. I'm getting Carlos Grange. And there are other arms as well, but that is, I'm getting a pair of top 100 prospects. And I'll also know that I was not planning to take the Yankees in left-handed pitchers. So I'm not really blocking anything there. I would say also you've got Ben Hess, you got Bryce Cunningham, you got Thatcher Hurd. You've got, you know, again, there's Sean Linen has been a, you know, very good this year in Double A. There are other arms as well, but I'm getting a pair of top 100 prospects. And so that's for not being able to pick my first two choices that I would like to take. I would say that the Rays and Nats are both teams that are kind of interesting there, at least for a variety of guys. Other teams that you all would have considered, I'd say the Cardinals is one. You know, we got Odell, who's been kind of a rising prospect, got Tanner Franklin, got some other guys there. Any other team jump out to you guys?
Oh, the Seattle Mariners.
Yep. I thought about them, but again,
I would get Ryan Sloan. I would get Brock Moore. And if the Brewers are the number one pitching development organization, I would say the Mariners are right there. I might have said they were at some other point. I guess this is an opinion that changes by the day. But you can't really argue with what the Brewers have in the big leagues right now and how they've developed them. Can't really argue with the Mariners too. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. But point is, you wouldn't be wrong either way. And if anybody's followed me this year, you know I love me some Ryan Sloan. And getting him into my group would be pretty awesome.
I think so, one that is not who you'd expect to say, but is sneaky deep, is the Angels. They have Tyler Bremner at the top, who's had a really good year. Gregory Alford, I think, is someone who's stock up. You know, he's definitely been rising. Nate Snead has been kind of incredible the last couple of weeks. And beyond that, you know, George Klassen, Dylan Jordan, Chase Shores, Walbert Urena, who's up in the big leagues and performing right now. Like, they have a sneaky deep group. And obviously their developmental track record with pitchers, especially the way they've handled college pitching lately, is not great. But it seems like they might have turned a corner, because this is a pretty exciting crew for the Angels, given, you know, kind of where their farm has been the last few years.
Yeah, you mentioned Snead's been incredible this month. I guess if you like 18 innings, one run, and 17 punchouts and no walks, if that's the sort of thing you're into, 0.5 ERA.
I hate to bring us to a close here, but I've got to pick left-handers because I've got about 10 minutes before we go live on the Hot Sheet show. So I got to wrap one up to get to the other. So I'm picking first for left-handers, and I'm going to go with the A's. Yeah. Gage Jump, Jamie Arnold. That, you know, there's others as well, but that's really Gage Jump, who, as we're recording this, has been promoted to the big leagues. Had a rough first month, I would say, in Las Vegas, and a very good second month. And having a good month in Las Vegas, that's a very brutal place to pitch. Wei-Yin Lin also, I think, which, so three of the top four prospects in the A's system, Yeah, three of the top four. Their number two, three, and four prospects are all left-handed pitchers. Can't say that really of much of any other organization. After that, there's not another lefty in our currently updated top 30, but at the same time, that's that's basically three top, you know, top of your top 100 prospects. So, okay, I'm happy with that. Josh, you get to pick second.
I'm going to pull the same trick I pulled multiple times, and I'm going to pick the Mariners so I can get Cade Anderson, and that'll round out my, I know you're crushed for time, so I'll just make it real simple. I pick the Mariners, I get Cade Anderson.
I would that's the other one I considered because I do think that Cade Anderson is the best lefty on the board. So I thought about it too. But Ian, I feel like you're getting a little bit of scraps here, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with this. I'm actually going to go with the Twins.
Okay.
And I get, I believe he's still technically eligible. So I think I still get Connor Prelip, who's looked very good in the big league since he came up. I also get Dayson Hill, another top 100 prospect who, since he's instituted a new slider, has really turned the corner on the season after a slow start. Beyond him, Kendry Rojas pitching really well in the big leagues in a piggyback role right now. And I think with those three, that's, you know, I get a really nice blend of upside and proximity. And I think that's a really, really good crew to round out my staff.
I will say I was being unfair there because you're really not getting the scraps because I think there's a fourth team that you could, that any of us could have taken and really could argue even the first pick, which is you could take the Marlins with Thomas White and Robbie Snelling. I know Snelling's come, you know, had elbow surgery, but that right there, no one's going to complain about that either. So that's pretty good too. But I do hate to bring this to a close, but we go from one of these to another. I've got to head off to the Hot Sheet show. So this is the Baseball America Prospect Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our draft of the different position groups. I will say I do want to put this up on screen, so in case anyone didn't see, let me put this up. Okay, so you can see while we're doing this. So we had the catcher. Ian took the Cardinals. Josh took the Padres. I took the Rays. We also consider the Guardians. Corner infielder, Ian took the Guardians. Josh took the Rays. I took the Brewers. We also consider the Dodgers, White Sox, and Cubs. Middle infielders, Ian took the Brewers, Josh took the Giants, I took the Nationals. We also talked about the Yankees, A's, and Red Sox. Outfielders, Ian took the Rays, Josh took the Pirates, I took the Dodgers. And then we also considered the Twins, Mets, Guardians, and Braves. Right-handers, we looked at Pirates with Ian, Josh took the Brewers, I took the Yankees. Other options we considered were Rays, Nationals, Cardinals, and Mariners. And then left-handers, Ian took the Twins, Josh took the Mariners, I took the A's. We also considered the Marlins. And we would love to know what you think. If they're a team that we forgot about here that you think, why did you not draft my team or so-and-so, whatever group it is, please let us know in the comments on YouTube. We'd love to hear them. For Josh, for Ian, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.